Welcome back, everybody, to Full Press Coverage Radio. This is the Full Press Coverage Steelers podcast. This is your host, as always, Parker Hurley. This is our episode 18. We're previewing preseason week 2 against the Green Bay Packers. And we're going to mix things up a little bit. We have a new co-host here. Brian Harker's not gone for good, but we're going to split up the offense and the defense as we preview this game. So our new co-host for the offensive side of the ball, we have Ben Pagani. He just started writing at FPC Full Press Coverage Steelers for us. He's been over at Full Press Coverage NHL writing some hockey stuff for a while. So, you know, in the Pittsburgh area, I know you're all big Penguins fans, so definitely check out all of his NHL stuff there. He had a takeaways piece from the very first preseason game. So let's introduce Ben Pagani and see how he's doing today. What's going on, Ben?
Not too much, Parker. I'm excited to be here.
Nice. We were just talking. Ben is doing his first podcast, so we're really excited to, you know, kind of get his thoughts on the Steelers' second preseason game. Like I said, after we saw his takeaways from the first game, so let's see what he's really looking for in this next game. And like I said, we'll start it off with the offense. We'll see what Ben's thoughts are on the offense, and, you know, go from our Ben to another Ben. We're wondering if Ben Roethlisberger is going to, you know, sit again as you know, the starting quarterback in week 2. There's also some reports that Landry Jones, you know, they may not need to see much of him after he had a decent first couple of drives with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first preseason game. So this is something that I actually wrote about. You know, if you Google Pittsburgh Steelers training camp questions, how to handle the Steelers quarterbacks in the preseason, the thing that I wrote was, you know, if you see something from Landry Jones on the first couple of drives, you probably just put him on the pine as we know what we have in him. He's the backup quarterback. It's just so clear that, you know, he's not going to be anything more than what he is, but he's definitely not going to be anything less than what he is. So there's some reports that we might see less Landry Jones. I talked about how it's a good chance to throw Mason Rudolph, you know, the rookie, out as a starter to not only start the game, but also start the second half, you know, go into the half, come back out after the adjustments. Mike Tomlin talked about that that's something he likes. So, Ben, I'm going to ask you, is that something that you would like to see from Mason Rudolph, maybe get the first start on Thursday and also take it into the second half? Or are you still interested in seeing a little more Joshua Dobbs? And really, you know, do you think anything from Ben or Landry, or is it just Dobbs versus Mason for this game?
I would like to see Mason Rudolph start this game against the Packers. I think that's the perfect opportunity for him. We know all the Steelers fans want to see it. We know management thinks he is either him or Landry Jones, the future starting quarterback of this team. So to give him a starting opportunity, even though it is a preseason game, it's going to feel like the Super Bowl for Mason Rudolph. He's able to prove himself against a team like the Packers. Like I said, though, preseason, you have a couple different strings. This would be his chance to shine, and I wouldn't like to see him go into the second half. I think Josh Dobbs does need some more reps, but if you gave each of them a half this week, maybe you throw Landry Jones in maybe for a drive or two, but I don't see that happening unless he's starting.
Right, I completely agree with you. Where I don't think you need to see Landry. You know, you said a drive or two. I honestly don't even think you need it. I really just want this is your opportunity. I talked about how rare in that piece that I wrote. I talked about how rare that, you know, you only have 16 quarters, and in the fourth preseason game, you know, it's kind of four quarters where you're not really, you know, that's probably going to be Josh Dobbs time or, you know, whoever is, you know, that's where the guys who are getting cut typically play. The third preseason game, you know, at least the first quarter or the first half is the dress rehearsal. So it's the starters. So, you know, you don't have all of the opportunity in the world to get Mason Rudolph these valuable reps. So I think this is a great chance to get Mason Rudolph out there. I talked about how I thought Joshua Dobbs played a lot better in preseason week 1 than he did in any of the preseason games last year. I still thought that, you know, arguably Mason Rudolph was, you know, just as good, if not better. He was much better in his debut than Dobbs' debut, but, you know, he was better arguably in his debut than Dobbs in year 2. So I think you do put Mason, like you said, with the starters. You know, it may not be the elite of the elite starters, but I talked about how important speed is. And there is a difference between not only college speed and preseason speed, but also backup preseason speed and, you know, bench player speed, you know. So it is still a step up for Mason Rudolph. It would be great to see him adjust and, you know, play to that speed. And then we could really go from there into the third and, you know, potentially fourth game, because we know Roethlisberger and Jones aren't playing in the fourth game. So I think we see the quarterback position very similarly. So we'll just move on to the running backs a little bit. And, you know, James Conner had a pretty good pretty good start to his preseason. Really, all of the running backs did. You know, Stephen Ridley caught four passes. Toussaint was doing some good things in pass blocking. He's still the starting return man as of right now, so he seems to be making the roster. And then there's Jalen Samuels, who I talked about last time. You know, they threw the ball to him with the first team. Then they kind of put him on the bench until he was with the fourth team running back. So I'm still wondering, is there a role for Jalen Samuels beyond, you know, he's a depth running back, but he was with the first team as, you know, a move player, a player that they threw the ball to out of the backfield. Are you looking for more Jalen Samuels in the passing game? Do you want to see him progress as a runner? Because he still needs to pass up Toussaint and Ridley. And just overall from, you know, these four backs, do you have any big expectations from the group?
Right. So, Stephen Ridley, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, we know that he is going to be the fourth string running back if he stays on this team. So, I think in these next two games, week two and three of the preseason, we need to see Jalen Samuels get a few more reps. Even in the passing game, I like what I saw the other day.
Right.
And I think he provides a lot of things. I'd like to see him when it comes to pass blocking, because we know Stephen Ridley cannot pass block whatsoever. And I think that might be a vital pull. If the Steelers get in a jam, if you're going to need a backup, maybe this is your guy. Last year, Stephen Ridley had maybe 150 yards total throughout the whole season. But when it came time for him to play, he played well. And I think Jalen Samuels could be a person who could play even better if we needed to go to that role throughout the season.
Exactly. And I mean, it's almost similar to how I said, you know, Landry Jones, we saw what we saw in the first preseason game, only if it was four pass attempts. We know exactly what we have in him. There's really not a need to see much more of him. You could argue the same exact statement, you know, for Stephen Ridley. He caught four passes. You know, I think, you know, you said he wasn't, you know, too great as a pass protector. I never really saw him as a pass catcher either. So, you know, to see him go out in the first preseason game, he caught four passes. You know, maybe he answered a few questions about that. And now you don't really need to see much more of Stephen Ridley anymore. So I'm kind of agreeing with you that I think, you know, the third preseason game, like I said, you're going to put a decent amount of time into putting starters on the field and trying to implement some things. So this feels like the chance for Jalen Samuels. And I said it, you said it, we both want to see him in the passing game. I'd like to see him in that Ridley type of, you know, how Ridley was at the end of that preseason game, where he is getting, you know, four targets or four pass attempts, and then we could really see what to do with him. But even at NC State, he was arguably used more in the passing game and used more out in space. So we still need to see him between the tackles. I'm still personally looking for him to show something between the tackles, and maybe it isn't an entire half of carries. You know, that would be a nice little introduction for him, in, you know, to get some reps between the tackles. Moving on to the wide receivers, Antonio Brown, you know, whether he plays or not, I don't think he's going to be anything to look for. I personally don't think he's going to play. Juju Smith-Schuster, he had the big touchdown, you know, but we're not really talking too much about the starters. I would say, you know, the big player, you know, is the guy that me and Brian talked about last week, was Damon Patterson. You know, he had the big catch. Mike Tomlin talked about moving him up a rung on the depth chart, so he might get onto the field a little bit early. He might, like we talked about with a guy like Mason Rudolph, might be able to see the differences in speed and the differences in talent from week to week. So, you know, Damon Patterson's really the guy I'm looking for. Is there anybody else in the receiver core that you have an eye on, or, you know, is there anything you're looking for from Damon Patterson to which you would say, oh, he took a step forward?
I think Damon Patterson took the biggest step forward out of anybody on this team this week. His story, first of all, is tremendous. Think about it. A kid from Youngstown State is now making touchdowns in the NFL, even though he's doing backflips after them, which I'm a fan of. I think it's a great story to see. He played tremendously. That catch he received from Dobbs, that touchdown, I mean, that is Pro Bowl caliber catch right there. That was incredible. I'm sitting there watching it thinking, wow, that's pretty unbelievable. I've never even heard of this kid, and I've seen Youngstown State play multiple times. I've never even heard of the kid, and he's out here and he's making catches in the NFL. It's incredible. I think he took a giant step forward. We could see him progressing. I mean, nobody's going to catch Antonio Brown or Juju Smith, but, you know, Darius Heyward-Bey is behind Juju all the time, and I think if we see more from Damon Patterson, he might be in that second role behind Antonio Brown. I'm not saying to start the season, but as things progress, I think we could have a lot of big things coming from him.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt. You know, next week he's definitely on the second team with Antonio. You know, without Antonio Brown. But Brian talked about it on the last one. You know, what does Justin Hunter bring you that you can't really get out of a younger, cheaper, you know, a guy with, you know, this chip on his shoulder, like you said, from a small school like DeMond Patterson. So, Darius Heyward-Bey, Justin Hunter, they're both on watch, and, you know, it would be another impressive performance from Patterson. You have to start saying, well, maybe he can't get to the practice squad. So he is clearly the player to watch on the Steelers wide receiver group. Also, Marcus Tucker, he played really well on special teams, so that's extremely important for him to potentially make the roster. And I said that I personally think Tucker is already ahead of Hunter when it comes to making the roster. So Tucker and Patterson are probably the two players to just continually keep your eye on in this position. Moving to the tight ends, it's really kind of a wasteland at this point. You know, Vance McDonald hasn't played and still isn't going to play in this game. You're just hoping to get him with the starters for the dress rehearsal. You know, then you have Jesse James. If he plays at all, it's really not going to be much. He had one catch in the last game. You get into the depth, you know, we know what we have in Xavier Grimble. Courtland Scott, Lynn Williams is Brian's guy, you know, a converted rugby player who, if he's anywhere, he's going to be on the practice squad. So the player that, in my opinion, I'm watching for is Bucky Hodges, because he was just signed recently. He hasn't really played much at all. He didn't get to play in the first preseason game because he was signed so late into the process. He barely got onto the field. But he's, you know, a 6'5 athlete, can stretch the seam, can go over the middle. You know, we're worried about Vance McDonald. He has had injury issues his entire career. They bled into last season with the Steelers. They're still around now. So, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, they signed Bucky Hodges, and he's probably just a camp guy. You know, I think he's on his fourth team in 2 years. But, you know, he's a high-caliber athlete, and all of a sudden, there could be some potential to make the roster for him. So I'm looking at Bucky Hodges very hard. What do you think about Hodges, and is there any sleeper guys you're looking for, or is it, you know, if you're looking for something from Grimble?
So, personally, I think Bucky Hodges could be a third guy. You got to give him another week or two to learn the playbook. If we'll see him this week, I wouldn't expect him to play perfectly. I think, though, there's some room for potential. I mean, a guy coming from Virginia Tech, which is consistently one of the best college football teams in the nation, yes, he's on his fourth NFL team, but I think the potential for this kid is tremendous. Like I said, we need to give him a chance for a few weeks learning this playbook, just signing him on early. But if he gets in this week and he surprises us with a few good plays or two, maybe he's blocking well, maybe he's catching well. I don't know what line he'd play with, but I think there is tons of room there for him to take that third spot. We obviously know Vance McDonald and Jesse James will be our starters in that role this year. As far as Xavier Grimble goes, I'm not really sure what to expect. Being a USC player, is there room for potential? Yes. Pittsburgh last year he played, and he didn't do so great. I mean, he had one touchdown, that's great, but he had 5 receptions for 32 yards in the entire season. So if he's able to produce in these preseason games, could we see him in a bigger role this year? I think it's possible. But I think that Bucky Hodges has more opportunity to go the distance than Xavier Grimble does.
Yeah, I agree completely that I'm looking at Bucky Hodges long and hard in this game. And, you know, we both said, you know, he's been around, but he was a wide receiver converted to tight end. So, you know, it's taken some time for him. And maybe it does just, you know, similarly to Alejandro Villanueva, you know, he was kicked around and tossed around and was a defensive tackle at one point before the Steelers had the patience to give him this time. Maybe the Steelers are, you know, just another team, you know, that has the patience to give Bucky Hodges this time to develop. It would show in week two. You know, like I said, I didn't expect anything at all in the first week. He was just signed recently. I think this is the week where you look for not understanding of the playbook, being in the right spot, but also look for, like you said, a willingness to block, because he's not a player who has any blocking experience. If you can see understanding and a willingness to block in this game, then, you know, I talked about the third game's kind of the dress rehearsal. He probably doesn't play in the first half, but you give him the entire second half. In the fourth game, I talked about it's for, you know, bottom of the roster players, not a single starter in sight, but that's a game where you give Bucky Hodges 4 full quarters and you say, you know, if you want to make this team, you have 4 full quarters to really prove it. You can't give him that time, and you can't give him the time in the third game unless you see, like I said, the progress and the understanding and the willingness in this preseason game, week two. So arguably, of anybody we've talked about, Bucky Hodges probably has the most on the line in this preseason game. So I'm extremely excited to look at Bucky Hodges. And just to close off the offense, while we have Ben here, before we bring Brian Harker back in for the defense, is there anything you're looking for here? Because, you know, B.J. Finney is banged up. I know he left the game against the Eagles. He's back in practice. I said on the last podcast, I don't need to see him. You know, maybe if you want to see him in the third preseason game, that's fine with me. I don't need to see him anymore. Chuks Okorafor, I think he had a pretty decent game. Started on the right side, moved over to the left side. Had his ups and downs, but that's what you expect from a player. There was a great pancake block he had on Elijah Qualls. So really just looking for progress from him. But that's really one of the only, you know, players I'm looking for. They just signed Zach Banner, who is a huge project. But he's similarly to Bucky Hodges, to where I don't see him getting on the field much or at all because of when he was signed. So is anyone else standing under the radar for you as far as offensive linemen? And is there anything you're looking for from Chuks?
Oh, man. I would like to see B.J. Finney in both the center and left guard roles. In the future, it all doesn't have to be in 1 week. But I want to see if there's any room for him. I know it sounds like you're not too wild about it. But I think this offensive line, as good as it is when it comes to the regular season, one of the best in the NFL even, I think there's room for even more growth. And I think if we see B.J. Finney in both of those positions, then what is there to lose? You know, we could see something that could potentially give this offensive line even more strength, which would be scary for any team that lines up against them.
Yeah, I actually think my argument to the opposite is that I think I know what we have in Finney, and I actually do think that we can trust him in that center guard role. I don't mind, you know, if you throw him in, like I said, in the third preseason game, you know, whichever role it is. But I think that he's a solid backup. We know we have a solid backup with Ramon Foster injured. You know, how much do you throw him out there to potentially, you know, if Foster is injured for week one, you know, Finney's your guy in week one. That's kind of where I'm coming from with that. But at the same time, like you said, you'd love to get him out there. He still is raw in arguably both positions. You know, he's only played, I think, a couple starts for Ramon Foster, and I don't think he stepped in for Pouncey yet. So it would probably be nice to get him some starts at center. I'm just worried about the health, but, you know, obviously the Steelers know more about that than I do. And, you know, he was on the practice field this week, so you probably are going to see Finney. And if you do see Finney, I don't mind it, you know, center or guard either. So that was the entire offense for us. Like I said, we're going to bring in Brian here for the defense. But Ben, do you just want to give any of your thoughts? You know, if you want to give a quick little preview for the defense or just kind of wrap up the offense, what do you think right now?
Oh, geez. This offense, I think, we know have been one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. And some of the depth that the Steelers could have going into the season is mesmerizing to think about. This team, you know, we might not even have to worry if a player gets hurt because we know we have the guys back there. The fact that we're talking as far back as the fifth string running backs tells us, okay, if Le'Veon Bell gets injured, maybe even next year when Le'Veon Bell might skip out for a little more money somewhere else, we've got players like James Conner who can tear it up. Yes, there are things to work on, but we know what we have. We know what we have in Fitzgerald Toussaint. Even wide receiver, we're talking as far back as third or fourth best wide receivers on the team. I think we're going to be fine. I think the Steelers' offense is going to tear it up again this season, and I think there's nothing to worry about for Steelers fans if somebody were to get injured.
Awesome, yeah. And I mean, that's what I'm all about is, you know, not only, you know, looking at the depth, but being excited about these depth players. So you are too. That was Ben Bagani. Like I said, check everything he does. He's just getting started for us with Steelers coverage, giving you hockey coverage as well. So that was Ben Bagani. Let's bring in Brian Harker and begin to discuss the defense here. All right, and now as always, we have Brian Harker in from Steelers Wire. So Brian, let's go. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just pondering, you know, this is going to be a pretty pretty decent week for football. I think the Steelers have a lot of decisions to make, and a lot of people are forcing them to make decisions. So all in all, that's a pretty good thing.
Yeah, some depth stepping up. That's what me and Ben were just talking about. And, you know, we were also talking about how the third game is, you know, the dress rehearsal for the most part. The fourth game is a throwaway or a chance for bottom of the roster players to really make some noise. So, you know, this is really the game where, you know, if somebody wants to take that big step from week one to week two, this is really, you know, arguably your only chance to do so. So, let's get into the defense because I think it's similar to the offense in which, you know, there's some depth that's going to be pretty interesting. Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt, you know, we're not really expecting much from them. Javon Hargrave is interesting because he played into the second half in the first preseason game. And then there was a report that on Monday, Daniel McCullers was taking first team reps and Hargrave was taking number twos. There was reports on, you know, the next day that they switched it back up. It was Hargrave with the ones, McCullers with the twos. But, you know, I think Hargrave has been amazing and, you know, looked great deep into the third quarter of that preseason game. I have no issues with Hargrave. Just think that's interesting. But I think it really speaks to the fact that Big Dan McCullers is having a heck of a camp. It's been what all of the beat reporters have said. You know, you go into the preseason game and he is out-snapping Joshua Frazier and he's out-snapping Greg Gilmore, you know, by a long shot and looking pretty strong. I don't buy into this, or I don't believe at all, you know, the Hargrave-McCullers debate, but it sounds like McCullers is head and shoulders ahead of Joshua Frazier and ahead of Greg Gilmore to make the roster. Is he the guy you're looking for in Big Dan, or do you want to see the other two maybe get some more snaps and kind of try and prove themselves?
I mean, you'd like to see the other guys try to prove themselves, sure. But, you know, Big Dan, like you say, he's just got some intriguing talent, and maybe something lit a fire under him. Maybe it was taking Josh Frazier to say, look, you know, Dan, your position's not guaranteed. This kid's got a ton of talent. He's a blue-chip prospect, and, you know, he's an alternative. If you're not going to step up and do something, we got no problem shuffling you out the door and bringing this kid in. And I wonder how much of those the mental mistakes that Josh Frazier made, because I believe he was the one that was guilty of those lining up over the center on those extra point attempts, which I believe he was one. One of them was his, and I believe it cost him a point.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a kid like that, you can't be making those mental mistakes, and maybe Dan Collars is snatching up this opportunity to say, hey, I'm still here and I'm not going anywhere. And I would love to actually see that because he's a monster of a man. And, man, he could do a lot. He looks to be quicker, too.
He just looks like a completely different person, to be completely honest. Yeah, you said with the Frazier, you know, it sounds like such a small little petty mistake to, you know, punish a guy over. But when you're a seventh-round pick and, you know, you're number 54 on the 53-man roster and you're trying to move up to 53, you know, those are the mistakes that cost you that spot. It really does come down to, you know, that little, that tiny little, well, McCullers won't do this and you will. That's the big difference. So, yeah, you know, we both said Big Dan was on the chopping block. We both said, you know, like Frazier more than him, like Greg Gilmore because of his versatility more than him. It looks like Greg Gilmore is just destined for the practice squad. He, you know, hasn't been able to move up the charts much. He still has the upside and, you know, everything we talked about, but it just seems like there's no momentum for him. You talked about Frazier's momentum has stalled, so, you know, maybe it is Big Dan's, and I don't think it's the fact that Gilmore's buried and Frazier has stalled his progression. I do think it's the fact that Dan is, he's amped, you know, he's ready to perform. You talked about it, you know, there really hasn't been competition for him, you know, since he was about, you know, what was he, a sixth round pick, you know, since then it's seemingly been, he's the backup nose tackle, you know, we're trying to progress him to be a starter, you know, that's been the whole talk. And then, you know, after year one or two, it was, well, he's just the backup nose tackle. And now it's finally this year for the first time, it's, you know, well, he's a free agent next year, you know, let's think about replacing him, let's potentially cut him. So finally, maybe there's some competition and there's a fire lit under him. And, you know, if he could just be the backup nose tackle that we've always thought he could be, that's fine. But, you know, Joshua Frazier, Greg Gilmore, they could both get onto the practice squad. You could potentially promote one of the two over him next time. So this game is huge for Daniel McCullers. And I think with a strong performance, he would pretty much nail in, you know, lock in his 53-man roster status. So that's something that, you know, last week at this time, we were not talking about at all. To move on to the edge rushers, and something we weren't talking about at all either, is that Matthew Thomas, you talked about, he's probably going to get some snaps with the edge rushers. We talked about on the last podcast that he was rushing off of the edge, and I compared it to how Shazier at sometimes would sneak down around the edge, but, you know, Bud Dupree has the concussion. TJ Watt hasn't practiced in a few weeks. Neither of them are going in this game. That's quite obvious. We got our boy Ova, who had his big sack. Huguenin had a great game, you know, as well. And then Keon Adams had a few pressures. So those are the big three names, and those are the three that are going to get all of the time on the field, you know, all of the chances to prove themselves. But then there's Matthew Thomas. So as of those four, you know, what do you think? What do you think about the group?
There's a lot of potential in that group, and a lot of athletic ability, and this is really their time to shine, because the Steelers are dying for edge rushers, and if any of these two guys can step up, you know, they just make themselves that much more versatile, especially a guy like Matthew Thomas. If he could fill two positions, now maybe you're saving another roster position to keep somebody you might not have maybe been able to keep. And I look for those two to get a lot of playing time, probably as a pair.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, Ola, I think he has a cast on his hand, so I kind of just want to see how he adjusts to that, you know, because he was, you know, he had a strong punch and a strong arm in the first preseason game. So I would like to see him, you know, use his hands violently still with that injury. Huguenin made some great steps forward as well, in my opinion. So I'm really excited about, you know, Huguenin, Adams, and Ola. So I'm really excited about all of them. Adams is probably, or Matthew Thomas is going to get some snaps off of the edge. You talked about that's a good chance for him to prove he's on the roster. But I still have been saying, you know, since day one that this dude, he's pretty much on the roster. And, you know, I talked about his speed and how it was just so apparent that even though he did look confused and maybe he looked like, you know, he was processing things, when it's time to turn on the jets, there's just no comparing his raw speed to really anybody on the field. You know, when he was on the fourth quarter of the first preseason game, there's nobody within his vicinity in terms of speed. So I'd like to see him move up a level and, you know, see some faster, bigger competition. And, you know, Thomas obviously can transition us into the middle, because even though he's rushing off of the edge, I still think you want to get him with LJ Fort in the middle. I think it's smart to keep him with LJ Fort, because Fort is a smart player, and Fort can point things out next to Matthew Thomas and say, you know, go get him, you know, here's your chance, or, you know, look at this, do you see this, you know, this is how you react to it. So I think Fort's a good player for Matthew Thomas, and those are really the two that I'm looking for. But then there's the obvious three-man competition between Tyler Matakavich, John Bostic, and Vince Williams. They've all rotated. You know, we've seen Bostic next to Matakavich, despite the fact that, you know, all talk is that those two are competing for the spot next to Vince Williams. They've all three played with each other. But I said it in the after the first preseason game that I think momentum is in Bostic's hand. They're still splitting the ones. I said that, you know, I thought it would be just John Bostic from now on. So far, they're still splitting them up. Bostic is the number one guy, but Matakavich is still being mixed in. What do you think overall from this group?
Well, you're hearing that Williams is having a spectacular camp all the way around. I mean, even in coverage, pressuring the quarterback, whatever he's asked, he's done it well. And it makes me wonder if the Steelers aren't going to, you know, or if they're going to kind of move away from that set. This guy's playing here and this guy's playing here, and it's a competition between this guy and this guy opposite of Vince Williams. It would make total sense if they can all play, if you have each of them on a field in different situations. Maybe not that there's a clear-cut number one on paper, there would be, but you could really swap them in and out in different situations. And I would really think that that would go along with Pittsburgh's change in philosophy on defense, going with this dollar package, other sub packages that they play. You know, what was looked at as a weakness could turn out to be a strength. I mean, you even hear offensive players like Ben saying they really love the way the defense is coming together.
Yeah, I think the big takeaway from what you said was Vince Williams playing in coverage well. And that's, you know, that's easily, in my opinion, the biggest issue with him when you talk about his, you know, strengths and weaknesses. So if that is something that he could pick up or at least be a little bit better at, that's just absolutely huge. And one thing that I wrote about when I wrote about the John Bostic signing was that, you know, obviously that he's smart, but also that he's a very good run defender. So, you know, we know that Vince Williams is a good run defender, and we know that he can get downfield, and I know that John Bostic can do it. Bostic, in my opinion, was the better pass defender of the two coming in. But if Vince Williams could, you know, show us something and could, like you said, give you the ability of, oh, we're just switching them all around, you know, now Bostic's the run stuffer and Vince Williams is out defending the pass, you know, we could potentially start to see some of that. And you talked about the dollar, and I'm going to kind of just use that to transition us into the safeties, and then we'll finish with the cornerbacks because it's interesting, and they seem to be, at least in training camp, they're playing that position or that scheme more than they're playing the dime. I think it's just because they're implementing this in, and they've played some dime last year. You know, this is really, you know, we haven't seen much dollar, but when they're fully healthy, it sounds like it's going to be Morgan Burnett in the box as kind of the Vince Williams role, the downhill run stuffer. Cameron Sutton next to him is kind of the play calling Mac, who can run out run around and do things in space. And then you have Terrell Edmonds and Sean Davis as the two back safeties. So a really interesting schematic design, in my opinion. You know, just what do you think about overall? You know, we'll throw Sutton in there because he had the pick. He's a, you know, a dime safety. He pretty much does everything. What do you think about the overall group of, you know, those four starters there? And, you know, are we going to see any of that this game, or, you know, are we still probably just easing players into this scheme?
I honestly would be surprised if we saw anything regarding that scheme during the preseason. They might, you know, for lack of a better term, a hybrid version of it, something that will get these players in these positions. We're not going to show anything, but you got to get, they're going to have to get that familiarity somehow, somewhere besides just in practice. But I really like the way it's setting up. I mean, they're going versatile. They're going fast. They're really making a concerted effort, I think, to cause confusion. I think that's, aside from it fits the scheme, they have the players to do it. I think the ideal, the reasoning behind it is to create confusion.
Yeah, and, you know, we just got done saying Vince Williams' questions are out in coverage, or he's trying to prove himself out in coverage. John Bostic, like him as a run defender more than a pass stuffer. So Ryan Shazier, you know, 4-3, can chase tight ends up the field. You know, how do you replace Shazier when you have two of these run stuffers? You put more safeties who can defend the pass on the field. Yeah, you talked about how you probably think it'll be a hybrid. You know, if we see it, honestly, it'll probably be something like Marcus Allen in the box with Malik Golden next to him. And then you have Jordan Dangerfield and Nat Bury deep. You know, that's probably the type of look that you would see from the Steelers at this point. Bury, you know, just to get into the depth, if you want to talk about any of these guys, I thought Bury played pretty well, and they've talked about how much they really like him in the free safety deep role behind Sean Davis. And, you know, Davis has been banged up, so all of a sudden, maybe there's some positive momentum for Nat Bury. And Dangerfield, I think we both talked about, had a pretty good preseason game, and it seems pretty clear that he's ahead of Marcus Allen, and probably so is Malik Golden. So anything you're looking for in the depth of this group?
Yeah, I'm looking for to see who can. Well, first of all, like you had mentioned, I want to see if they're burying Marcus Allen,
right?
Because you know it's always good at this time of the preseason, or it's bad if you can sit here going into preseason game two and predict the starting lineup, predict the depth behind it. The Steelers are in a position now they haven't been in for quite some time where, you know, really it's up in the air, and somebody's going to be a casualty during final cutdowns at this pace, that you're like, man, I hate to see him go, but I really like who we have instead. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I said it with Ben that the third preseason game is the dress rehearsal. You know, it may not be the entire first half, but for the majority of the first half, you're looking at starters and you're implementing new schemes and you're figuring things out for week one. Preseason week four is typically you've almost made, you know, you probably have 51 of the 53 men set on your roster, and you're really just looking, you know, you're throwing out depth guys, bench guys to, you know, get snaps, show a case for the practice squad. And like I said, maybe player number 52 and 53 earn their jobs on that fourth preseason game. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, chances are starting to run thin. Marcus Allen did not really get a good chance or didn't show it at all in that first preseason game. If he doesn't do it in this game, it's, you know, he's not going to see the field in preseason game week number three, because you would hope that Sean Davis and Morgan Burnett play almost the entire half, and then you'd really love Terrell Edmonds, obviously, to play the entire second half, or, you know, start from the second quarter and play into the, you know, the deep part of the game. So if it's not happening now, it's probably not going to happen. Or if it does, it would be he would be a player in preseason week four who just has such an amazing performance that you can't cut him. But, you know, that's pretty tough to predict. You know, the odds are very low in his favor if he's going into week four and he still hasn't proven anything. So if there's any time at all for Marcus Allen to make the roster, it'll be Thursday. So, you know, if you're into, you know, if you're a nerdy, you know, deep roster guy, that's the one you're looking for. So Marcus Allen is a huge player to watch for. Moving on to the cornerbacks, Joe Hayden, I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, Antonio Brown has his way with Joe Hayden. I don't think that's bad on Joe Hayden in any way, but he's just been getting abused by Antonio, and I'm starting to feel bad for him. But I'm not expecting anything from him. Artie Burns, same thing. He's always strong in the preseason, so I don't expect anything from him. There's some talk that Mike Hilton is, you know, running third team free safety, which I don't think that's a huge deal. And Cody Sensabaugh had a pick. Cam Sutton, we talked about already. Deshaun Phillips gave up the big pass, and then Brian Allen, probably similarly, you know, maybe not similarly to Marcus Allen, but if a player like Brian Allen were to ensure a roster spot, it would be in this week two game as well. So Brian Allen's probably the name I'm watching for. What do you think about the cornerbacks?
You know, it's the one that I really I want to see like you is Brian Allen. Sensabaugh, other than his interception, and he looked pretty bad in the open field to try to make tackles. I mean, I think it was Smallwood that just destroyed him. And if you take away that interception, Sensabaugh had a pretty rough game. I'd almost think that if I were him, I'd be concerned potentially about my roster spot, especially if somebody like Brian Allen steps up and shows out well against Green Bay.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because if you're box score watching, you're seeing the pick and you're saying there's no chance Sensabaugh is getting cut. But and he made a smart, you know, a smart read to, you know, break on the route, and he understood to let the guy, you know, behind him go, and he kind of jumped up for it. But like you said, it wasn't even the best performance of an overall night. It was a really bad pass overall. Brian Allen's younger, has more upside, you know, all of the like to that. I definitely think that, you know, this is a game where you get Brian Allen, you know, probably you probably give Hayden and Burns, you know, like one series together, and then, you know, you go back to it'll probably be Sensabaugh and Sutton for a little bit, but then I would probably say you slide Sutton into the slot, you put Brian Allen outside, you know, probably at some point, you know, midway early through the second quarter, and you probably, you know, take him there, you know, probably into the fourth quarter, hopefully. So that would be a really long extended look at Brian Allen. So those are the type of players that we're really, you know, keying in on and looking for, you know, Brian Allen, Marcus Allen, Matthew Thomas, our dude Olon Huguenin, and, you know, Dan McCullers, kind of players like that. So kind of just to put a finishing touch, a wrapping bow on it, are there any other players that you're kind of standing out or looking for, any fringe guys that you really think, like I said, you know, this is like moving day. You know, this is your chance to move up the roster or make a move before the dress rehearsal. So who do you think stands out?
I want to see more Malik Golden. You know, his little pass deflection there towards the end of the game, one of those deals where if he had the presence of mind to go up with two hands, it probably could have been a pick. But, I mean, really, I want to see him. I mean, he's always around the ball. He just seems to be that guy that is more than a bubble player. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's a guy to me that deserves to be on the roster or deserve a real good look at it. And he's got some coverage ability. So he's another guy that, you know, give you some more flexibility.
Yeah. He's the safety that, you know, it's like every year we're going to come up with a guy, you know, from Robert Golden to Dangerfield to last year, Jacob Hagan was our guy, you know, here we go. Malik Golden, yeah, let's see it. Like I said, he's ahead of Marcus Allen right now. So that's a big sign for Malik Golden, a bad sign for Marcus Allen. But that's the type of thing that you need to be watching for in the second week of the preseason. Those are the type of players who are going to make their name. You know, this game is not for Ben Roethlisberger. It's for Malik Golden and Marcus Allen. That was Ben Pagani to start us off with the offense. Brian Harker of Steelers Wire to finish us off with the defense. I'm Parker Hurley, keeping everything together as always. Follow us at FPC_Steelers. And check out everything we do. We're going to have five players to watch before the game and five takeaways after the game. We'll have another podcast, hopefully Friday morning, to recap the game. So we'll probably start pumping out 2 a week now that we're in the midst of real football being played on the field. So stay tuned. We're coming at you hard and heavy now. So that was Brian, Ben, Parker. You guys have a great day.